nerderotic.com.
Cersei. Walder Frey. The Mountain. Meryn Trant. 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 Cersei. Walder Frey. The Mountain. Meryn Trant.
We are back. And we are live on Facebook.
Game of Thrones is back. It's all back.
Game of Thrones is back. And we're back. We're the Nerdrotic Podcast. My name is Gary Beekler. I am live in San Francisco, California, and I come to you from nerdrotic.com. And I am with my best bud and co-host down in Toluca Lake, California, John Reed. What is up, John Reed?
You know, I'm hoping to survive this little podcast. I had a little blackberry wine before I came on, and I'm just not sure if it's spiked or not. So I think I've got T-minus a few minutes until I keel over for the night.
Oh, that's too bad. Well, dude, that's why I am a grateful recovering alcoholic. Like Walder Frey or Arya Stark.
And you're safe.
Yes. And I put me off was all that Dornish piss that he was talking about. That's the shit I liked. I like the Dornish piss.
Who doesn't?
Yeah. Okay. So, dude, it's back. And real quick, this is where we started. Last season, we started doing these recaps with Game of Thrones. The funny thing is we did them like 5 days afterwards, you know, we'd like put it up like a day before the show aired. This will be the first time Game of Thrones will show up on the night of air since we started. I'm going to throw out the playlist. Please go through and check out our old videos. They're actually pretty good. I'm about 50 pounds heavier. I was looking at those. I'm like, whoa. But I've been running from the undead for the last year, so you lose a lot of weight from doing that.
Yeah, unless you're Bran, you get dragged through the snow, you're all cold. It's basically like just dragging an iceberg through. Like, I don't know how Mira did it, man. Hodor, it took him forever to drag Bran all over the place. Now, like in a snap, they're at the wall. Bran looks colder than ever. But yeah, you know, got to put on some of that winter weight.
Mira. It must be just cut. I mean, that's like the first thing Nicole says, like, holy crap. She must be just, ooh, like, yeah, she must look like a triathlete. Oh, she is a triathlete.
Bran's just in the back like, mush, mush. Mira's just trudging. I can totally see it happening.
God, that actually kind of looks fun. Oh, well. So, yeah, but it has to be Mira dragging me, not just anybody. Mira.
Us Reeds, we have good, I don't know.
Oh, boy.
Hardy folk.
Yeah. Want people.
So did this seem like an episode in reverse to you? I mean, the last line is of the episode is let's begin, and the episode starts with basically a red wedding. Like, to me, it was really interesting how this was almost like a Game of Thrones episode in rewind.
It really was, and it was unlike any Game of Thrones episode we've ever seen, because there's still intrigue and there's still betrayal, but the tropes of Game of Thrones are kind of gone, and we're kind of into linear storytelling now, where it's good guys fighting bad guys. And yeah, we still have some gray people kind of fighting each other. Actually, that's what the season is like. We're going to do away with the gray. And, but we finally have like a clear cut good guy team and a clear cut bad guy team and a clear cut almost bad guy team. You know, it just looks fun. They're departing from the books so much that this is not, I mean, this from this point on, ladies and gentlemen, this is going to be nothing like the book, at all.
Here's something I wanted to ask you in the last, I forget, there were some references at the end of last season that were a little like meta. And I thought that at the very beginning of this, Walder Frey or Arya as Walder Frey talking about the Red Wedding. Have we ever heard anyone on the show call that the Red Wedding?
Yes, it's been called the Red Wedding a couple times on the show, and it is called it in the book too. So
it just stuck out to me. I mean, yeah,
there was some meta stuff in here that I'm just lay the hell off because it's kind of political, but there's meta all over it. And that's very unlike Game of Thrones. Okay. Yeah. To get weird and topical. It's not even something I disagree with, but it was there. I noticed it. I went, oh, there we go. Couldn't
well, Ed Sheeran, Ed yeah. Sheeran singing a song in the episode. You well, don't get yeah, much
besides more that. I did like that twist though with the Lannister soldiers. I really did. Cause we all first thought that, but by the way, before we carry on, we assume you watched the episode. So spoilers. I thought Arya was just going to wipe them all out. So I thought that was a cool little scene. We had a lot of nice, there was a lot of nice this episode. I mean, it started out horribly. Let's talk about that cold open was the shit.
And oh my God.
Fan service. I none of us had any doubt it was coming. None of us, my wife and I and the dogs, the dogs were even onto this, but it still was just so good. And Melissa, after that scene, she was like, I'm good. I can.
Yeah.
That was freaking awesome.
Well, this is unlike Game of Thrones because, and I know that, everyone out there, I know I'm making generalities here. So I'm sure there are instances where this isn't the case. However, it really felt like this time stuff had happened in between when we left last time and where we pick it back up. So instead, it felt like we skipped a lot of what early Game of Thrones was, which is just people walking around talking about history and stuff, right? Like this really felt like a strange episode where it was preamble for what's going to come this season, but it felt like, okay, let's just cut out everything that was unimportant that happened before at the end of last season and before this season started, and let's just jump right into some big events. Let's just like they've been on this, you know, Dany's been sailing for however long, now she's landing. We skipped all of the getting to this, you know, getting to Dragon's Reach stuff, right? And with Arya, it's like she's already taken the form of Walder Frey and she's slaughtering all the Freys within the first few minutes. And I felt like that's different and very interesting and very, to me, it's like I'm optimistic in that approach that they're taking now that they're going off script.
Yeah, it's we're in movie territory. I mean, we don't have time for filling in this background or doing this little side scene to build some character. For Christ's sake, Tyrion Lannister didn't speak a word this episode. My only knock on it, by the way. Not taking away from that great scene. But yeah, it's totally a different show. And I think that was the disappointment with HBO. I think that's what led to, remember before George said, I'm not finishing Winds of Winter on time, there were plans. I can pull up article after article that this was going to go 10 seasons, yeah. 10 seasons. We could go this forever. Then he's like, I'm not going to finish the book in time. And they're like, okay, it's over. I mean, that was it. I mean, like they could have pushed out probably three more full seasons with book, but Dan and Dave adapt. That's purely what they do. They take great pieces out of the book and they adapt. And all those great lines everybody remembers were almost word for word George R. R. Martin's. Not taking away from them, they have done one of the better jobs of adapting since Lord of the Rings, in my opinion.
And I would have to say, the Fellowship of the Ring. Like I think that movie was a particularly good adaptation. And I would say that the second two, three and four of that series weren't as good as the adaptation Game of Thrones is doing. I would say that aside from a very few other things, like you said, The Godfather, specifically The Fellowship of the Ring, maybe a couple other things, this is just a near perfect adaptation. I mean, it like the Harry Potter movies, right? They're good adaptations. They're direct adaptations, but they lose something in translation. Whatever that magical thing of the books is, doesn't quite come through. Like they're good, but not great. Whereas this is like great source material, great TV material.
There is a better Harry Potter out there visually. And there's some Ice and Fire fans who can make a great argument that there might be a better Ice and Fire. Because they've really grounded this one. I mean, if you read the books, there's a lot of hair dye, there's a lot of weirdness. But I love it. There is a different version, but I don't think there'll be a better version than this. This was great. So now how about, and it's great that they're going to end it different. Cause that's cool. Cause now I'm not going to know what's going to go on the book. and now I don't know what's going on in the show, and that makes it honestly more enjoyable. And I don't have a problem with them going linear, because I just want to see some battling. I want to see some payback. I want to see some battling and some ass kicking. And we got that like right away. We got two. Oh my God. I am so excited that the freaking Hound is back. I mean, that's the show missed the Hound. Oh my fucking God. Did it miss the Hound? I love that he was back. But real quick. Okay. Cold open. We got Arya. Then we go right into a early appearance with the freaking Night King, which kind of tells me we're not going to see them a lot till later. But wow, that was great to see them early. And oh shit, they got fucking giants.
Is that one himself? Was he raised, or is that a different giant? I mean, it could be either, I guess. But I was just like, oh man, is that one?
Either it could have been. The ones that died that Mance Rayder brought over, they burned. So that must have been some other giants they killed earlier. What I mean, it makes sense that they have giants. I just love that they kind of held that till last.
His name's Tutu the Giant. Tutu. No, this is that scene where it's just like you just see like the ice and the fog on the ice for like a long time. It's like they took like 2 minutes out of this to just show ice fogging up.
Billowing.
Billowing ice. And the whole army is just so badass, and you have to imagine that there's no way anyone's taking these on without dragons, right? Like you see the dragons at the very end. I think that they were trying to sandwich this episode, like they were trying to make the episode mirrored itself, right? Like it would start with something and it ended with a big moment. You started with the White Walker army in the snow. You ended with the dragons at Dragon's Reach. Like I feel like they did a good job of holding up a mirror to the first half of the episode and the second half of the episode. Look, that army, just everything looks so good on this show too. Like at the end, I know I keep jumping all over the place, but this episode was so good. At the end, when they're walking up that big path to the castle, you know that is that a practical set? Like, I have no idea how they do some of this shit. It just looks so in scope. Like, did they, and it seems like they make like these really detailed rooms that'll only be in a shot for like 5 seconds that are just like, it would take you like a month to put like the detail into the sets that they use. It's just incredible what they're able to do visually with this show.
Well, they use a lot of real sets, like for the interiors and stuff. That's why they're going to Spain and Italy a lot, and other locations. Obviously, I saw some of the. By the way, all the spoilers and leaks so far, like first episode, are 100% right.
Yeah,
that's all I'm gonna say. And there's a lot of spoiler photos, and yeah, that was mostly a practical set. But I noticed that with Melissa too at the end. For one, I'm surprised HBO Now did not crash. That's a credit to their servers, and it looked beautiful. It was coming through great, and it looked amazing. This thing looks so freaking clean. What we got a very little of, which I want more of really soon, is Bran. We talked about Bran. Bran made it to the wall. Just said a quick line to Ed, Ed's like, how do we know who you say you are? And he said,
shut up, let me in, I'm cold. She's been dragging me through the snow for like miles, dude. Like, get me inside to some fire. That's what he said, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And can we do it with a little speed? Because the next one is like literally right behind me. So, that was that. We saw Ed. That's good to see Ed. And then we get to John and Sansa.
Yeah.
This was a cool little scene. I really loved this is where some of the meta stuff, I'll mention it. I don't care. I mean, cause like, I don't care either way. It was just the way it was delivered was just really, it took me out of the show. And Game of Thrones doesn't do this. Okay. So they're talking, John is talking about, they're in there talking about the North and the castles, the Karstark castles and the Umber castles. And Sansa's like, fuck them. They betrayed us. They should go to people who are loyal, and other people are agreeing. And John was like, listen, we can't blame the sins of the father on the son, and John's trying to be the good guy here. And, John practically being the Christ figure that he is, does a very Christ thing and forgives. And then when you see like, I love how the reveal was after this, because you saw him forgive first, and then you see these little innocent little kids come up, you know, and then like they pledge their swords. And that one, the Karstark girl is Sansa, or is Sophie Turner's body double, if you couldn't tell. That's her body double. And that was a cool little scene. And even Sansa kind of dialed it back. She, like, you know, with her facial expression, she's like, okay. I mean, like, when you have little kids there, I mean, you know,
yeah.
If it was adults, I don't know if that would have been.
Here's the thing, though. Yeah, I want to talk about this, because when you watch this scene, you're watching and you're like, John's a naive idiot, right? Like, what he's doing right now is politically untenable. He should not be doing this. And then you see how the scene goes on and you're like, okay, maybe he has a point. Maybe Sansa's being a little too harsh. But what tact do you think is the right tact? Like, it seems like it worked out for John. I don't see these people betraying him. The scene portrayed it in a way that I feel like these are they're back in the fold now, right? Like, it seems like John did his job, and Sansa credits him for that after when they're talking. But it's a gamble, right? Like, it's an unnecessary gamble.
We'll have to see. You're right at some point. But I mean, I think it's also a learning experience for John, where Sansa's like, okay, you were right on that one, but you can still be a stupid fuck. And I'm paraphrasing, by the way.
Right.
And
it shows us that Sansa's ready.
Listen to Sansa. John's listened to a lot of people. John listened to Gilly, for Christ's sake. I mean, right. John's open to it. I don't see him as, he's naive, but I see him as like the one good guy. And he's been through fucking hell, and he's still trying to, like, not, you know, I know we watch it for Game of Thrones, but he's like the one guy trying to break the game, going, because he's seen the Night King, he's seen horrors. So that's also a perspective that a lot of other people do, that they play into, is, you know, those of us in the world, those other people who've seen some real shit are the ones who are pretty much the last ones to want to get into a fight.
Right.
That, in my experience in life.
But,
so I thought that was pretty real.
It has a point, right? Like, John is acting very much like Ned would. And totally. He's learned a lot from Ned. And Ned made he calculated incorrectly and died because of it. And Sansa watched that. A lot of people underestimate Cersei and die. And she's watched a lot of people underestimate Littlefinger and die. And she's noticed that the people who end up not dying are those that are, one, underestimated, and two, willing to make the vicious decision, right? So Sansa's the ultimate skeptic at this point, and John's the ultimate, like, naive is the wrong word, but like, he's the he ultimately wants to believe the best in a lot of situations. And we want the world to be full of Johns, right? But Sansa's the one who's built for this. So it's like, what do you do? Do you sacrifice a little bit of what John has and be more like Sansa to win the game? Or do you, or if you're Sansa, do you just accept, like, if I'm going to be good, I'm also going to be dead? And that's what I loved about the scene, is I think it was a direct posing of that question.
Well, I think as more Stark members show up, it'll bring them together more, because they work better together. I mean, they, you know what? Sansa's a little bit too dark and skeptical for the, and with good reason, with all the horrible shit that has happened to her. Actually, she's really strong for coming through that shit, but she might be a little jaded. Well, she is a little jaded right now, again, with good reason, but I think they balance each other out. I think a co-rule would be ideal, and that's what we're kind of getting. Also, this is just a big setup. You know, it was a big setup scene to, like, bring Sansa into the fold, because, you know, frankly, Sansa's not, unless Sansa's going to learn how to fight and get some armor on and go fight the White Walkers, we need to get, you know, we still need to have intrigue in the show, and there's still got a whole season before anybody's fighting White Walkers. And like you said, there's a ton of mopping up to do, and the big mopping up is Cersei, and she is, you know, I don't know. Right now, it just looks like I'm with Jamie. There's no way she can win. But you never know. She's come out of situations before, and, well, everything. She's come out of everything on top. Yep. So
let's actually move. We can move on to Cersei. I think that's good. Yeah. So when we see Cersei, right, she's having this like amazing, like that map that she's having painted on like, that's a, I want that. That's so cool. Like it visually is just really cool. And is she going to be like, are tacticians going to be like meeting in that courtyard to like design, their battle plans? Like, is that her new like strategy room, her new war room?
Yeah, oh, that'd be cool to have like little things pushing around, like a shuffleboard set, you know. And
then, totally.
You know, if one guy like gives bad news, like she goes all Darth Vader and kills him, you know. I looked up a couple of times because I'm not going to show you guys, but they have that map book, you know. Yes. And I have all the maps pinned to my ceiling.
Oh, that's awesome.
So when I look up, there's actually Westeros is right above me, but you know, I love that scene, and people have been talking about it since the trailer. That it's very poignant where she is standing and where Jamie is standing, and she's standing on the region of the map called the neck, and he is standing on the region of the map that's called the fingers, and the whole prophecy about the Valyrian word for little brother, Maggie the Frog's prophecy that they didn't finish in the show. They only tell you the first half of the prophecy, and the book tells you the rest. The first half of the prophecy is basically you're going to have a bunch of kids with Robert, and you know, gold will be their crowns, gold will be their gold will be their shrouds. Then the rest of the prophecy is you will be the queen until somebody younger and more beautiful comes and strikes down everything you hold dear, and then the Valenquar will come and, you know, strangle the life out of you. So basically your little brother is going to kill you. So she's always thought that Tyrion was going to kill her. That's why she hates Tyrion. So hopefully they'll do a little flashback and tell the rest of that prophecy, because it is play really hard. It does tell you why she hates Tyrion so much. I mean, I guess it was enough that she thought that Tyrion killed, well, Tyrion did kill her mother, but it wasn't his fault, but he killed her. But then on top of that, she had a witch going, oh yeah, your little brother's going to strangle you to death. So when they showed Jamie sitting on the fingers and her sitting on the neck, that's some major foreshadowing there. I know that was a really long story.
No, I know.
Yeah. And that's kind of because Jamie is technically her little brother too. Came out a few seconds or a few minutes, a couple minutes afterwards. So I don't know.
Fingers on the neck.
Mad queen situation. I do not know. They're kind of fucked though. I mean, they've got the mountain, you know, zombie mountain.
And
she is the queen of three kingdoms at best, that Jamie pointed out. So again, you know, like Cersei sometimes does make mistakes. And one of them very well could be allying with Euron Greyjoy, who was played much, much better this season than he was last season.
Yeah. So good. Like, so first of all, this seems like a marriage that may end up happening, right? Like, he poses it, she says no, but he still seems like, I'm gonna make this happen, you know. I think he's gonna do it. I think he's gonna pull it out in the end.
I think so too, and I hope that it seems like they've made him a lot closer. He was kind of like a muted version of Euron Greyjoy in the books, and by no means is he anywhere near as bad. Euron Greyjoy makes Ramsay Bolton look like Mr. Rogers. He is so much worse, and such a great bad guy. Like, favorite bad guy ever. He's, after reading the Forsaken chapter that George R. R. Martin released, I'm gonna have to say yes, he is my favorite bad guy ever. He is hopelessly bad, but funny, and yeah, and irredeemable. See, I like a good irredeemable bad guy. I just do. I know it's old fashioned, but So, and some of the jibes he got in, like, you know, I've got two good hands, you know, and it's like, oh, I've killed, you should try killing a brother. It's nice, you know. That was my favorite bit.
Yep.
That was just a juicy scene, and he was good.
I think it was really just good.
Because he cleaned up, though, because he was like all messy and kind of old and flabby looking, you know.
Yeah, he seemed different. He seemed very different.
And it was much better of a scene.
I'm getting like a Negan, Walking Dead from the comic books kind of vibe off him right now. And digging it. I'm definitely digging it. He seems actually a little younger than I expected when I read the book. Like, I always thought of him to be a little older feeling, like kind of like this old grizzled, like pirate bad guy, you know, just evil pirate. But he comes off as much more like a biker dude who likes boats, you know.
Yeah, he does. And in the book, he is like an unnaturally young pirate, like probably some magic is keeping him young. He's missing an eye. A lot of people think that's the third eye, the three-eye raven's eye that he took. He's been all over the world. He's been to Valeria, you know, the smoking doom of Valeria, and he's got some badass toys.
Yeah,
he's kind of the Iron Man of Westeros.
Doctor Doom
of Westeros, and I'll leave it at that. But fuck, that was good. That was good. I had no dislikes this episode, by the way. So if you're looking for a hate shit posting place, this ain't it. let's talk about Sam and the grossest scene since the Viper's head exploding. Like, honestly, I'd rather watch the Viper's head explode than see another goddamn chamber pot, because I was actually eating when that scene started, dude.
Yeah. Gross, man. Totally gross. I love every time they go to the Citadel, they show us the awesome chandelier in the which I love. I like the first time I saw that, I was like, oh man, I want one of those. Like, they need to start making like chandeliers for people's living rooms that are like small versions of that. I don't love Sam. I'm not a Sam fan. I'm not a Sam fan. Anyway, whatever. I don't like Sam. I don't like him much in the books, and in the show, I haven't been a huge fan either. But what we're getting from Sam now, because like all you're doing with Sam in the books until this point, or in the show until this point, is you're taking away from John's story, because they're in the same place usually, right? Or they're at least remotely in the same place. And so when we get to the Citadel, I actually really love it, because we're seeing college life, but they're like old guys, right? Like, instead of college being for like, you know, right out of school, like young, like at this point, they'd probably be like 13 going to college if it were the equivalent of what we do in modern days. And I love that we're just seeing like continuing education as if it were like life, like as if it were, they're so far behind that they're making these huge advances right now, right? So I just kind of like seeing what their, you know, what the Citadel really is for the first time.
I don't know why they took so long in the show, because it's so, so integral. Actually, there are lots of young people. It is college. There's tons of young people there. There's novices. They just didn't show them because they stay there until they're old. You literally go to school for like 20 years or 10 years in Westeros time. I don't know how time moves in Westeros. All the characters in the books, like Jon Snow's like 16, 17, you know, he's like 30 now,
but right?
In the books, they're all like, you know, Rob died when he was like 15. They're all in their teens. We're talking about medieval ages here.
Yeah. And isn't Arya like 11, or like, didn't she start when
she was starting when she was like, seven or eight. And then this is all supposed to be 5 years, supposedly. And that's what, well, in real time, it's been damn near eight. It's been a long time. But maybe it's not as much Sam as like seeing the Citadel, dude. Seeing the Citadel just fired me up as a book fan. I'm like, because they got it down. It looks freaking old. Melissa said it looks like Boulogne. Never been there, so I wouldn't know. And then seeing all the old books. And then did you see through the cage when Sam was first looking at the forbidden books? They were showing the seasons of Westeros, and what they were showing you there is there used to be regular seasons, you know, and not these 10-year winters and stuff. I don't know if they're ever going to, well, they're going to have to talk about that, but see, you got to love Sam, John, because Sam is George R. R. Martin. He's
come on to set it.
I know, but yeah, his shit does take away from John a little bit. I'll agree with you there. I'm just dorky for the Citadel stuff as a book fan. Seeing Jim Broadbent from, you know, Horace Slughorn from Harry Potter. And he's also, you know, in Love Actually and just been in a ton of shit. And he was great in his little role there. And digging through the body was nothing compared to looking at the goddamn chamber pots over and over and over again. and he had something interesting to say, that he believes Sam about the White Walkers, because I guess nobody else does.
Right. It's like when Harry is like, Voldemort's back, I guess.
Or when Buffy's saying there's a Hellmouth.
Right. No, I don't understand how you can't believe him at this point. Like, whatever. It seems weird, but it's so disconnected. It's so easy to get away with shit in Westeros because there's no way to first of all, there's no surveillance. There's very little. And then once you get that surveillance, it's incredibly difficult to get the information to the hands of the person you want before they die. So it's
I totally understand it. And also, I mean, they're the skeptics in the science, and the big thing that they're, I mean, again, spoilers for the books, ladies and gentlemen, but the Citadel, there's a grand Citadel conspiracy that you can go. There's Preston Jacobs does a YouTube on it. I think even Emergency Awesome does, and Stokkeros even does one, or The Form of Ice and Fires, and it's the Great Citadel Conspiracy. Excuse me, that they killed the dragons, basically.
Oh,
and there's still a conspiracy. These maesters, they do come from big houses sometimes, and they drop their last name. But it's been noted more than once in the book that maester was a Lannister. Like, the Lannisters have got a lot of maesters everywhere, and that's due to Tywin. That's Tywin's work. There's also, there's the grand, they're the ones who wanted to kill magic in the world. Although they still study it. Their chains, their link is each link is a study.
A mastery of it.
So to get the Valyrian steel one, you have to know magics. And Maester Marwyn is who Jim Brombett is playing, has one. So, and he's an awesome, in the book, he's a brawler. He looks like a bouncer who's a maester in the book. And he's known to hang out with hookers and, drink a lot. So he's my kind of maester.
Yeah. As one does.
Yeah. That scene was more informational. It was good to see. It's got good music. It was nice to see Gilly and the baby. Baby got a little bigger.
Brienne's looking good too. Gilly's looking good too.
Gilly, you know what? Another drawback. I got this. Melissa wanted me to bring this up. Was the costumes? You can tell everything's just gotten an upgrade and it looks great. But the hair was looking a little too pretty, and Cersei's wig was bad.
Yeah, Cersei's wig is not great.
That's a bad wig. They need, with that much budget. That tells you the difference in a star in the first couple years of a show. Karen Gillan in Guardians of the Galaxy, the first one, she shaved her freaking head for the role. Second one, not shaving my head. You make it shave your head. Yeah. Shave your head. Get your hair short. It's Game of Thrones. Right. I don't know. That's just my opinion. Because that wig, that was as bad as Obi-Wan's beard in Phantom Menace. That was pretty bad. It's just with this budget, come on. Please. Yeah.
Game of Thrones isn't about snatching wigs. We don't need this shit.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that was as bad as the Inhumans wig. Nothing's as bad as the Inhumans wig.
That's somebody who apparently did shave their head, because that's the only excuse for that wig. It's just like, here, put this on.
Dude. That wig is so bad, they're going to name bad things after it.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. So we go back to a Sansa little finger scene, which did nothing but to service that Littlefinger is going to do what Littlefinger does. And Sansa kind of cucks him, which is good. He needs some serious cucking, that boy. And Brain, we get a quick Brain line. And, it's almost like they don't know what to do with Brain anymore. And it's like,
yeah, Brian's just hanging out with Pod. But I do love that dynamic. I hope that they can get them into the thick of things. I'm sure they will. I think Brienne is one of those characters who needs a battle to be, she was looking after the Starks, gazing in the window at a candle for a few episodes. That's Brienne at her worst. But then you get these great moments when she finally marches on Winterfell to save Sansa. And kills Stannis. She needs a war to fight in. And she's not that useful. So she's not a thinker. But my big question with this scene is, do you think Littlefinger really is only interested in Sansa for, what she thinks he's interested in? Or do you think there's something else going on here?
I think the show is going to make it just about he wants to get in Sansa's pants. I think they're going to simplify it that much. It's way...
He's like this mastermind with all these things going on. And now he has time to just sit in the back of a room and hang out at Winterfell randomly.
This is where you miss George R. R. Martin. Yeah. I mean, in the adaptation, because Littlefinger, we're here because of him and Varys, mostly because of him, though. This is so he needs a proper send off. I mean, it's pretty obvious, and we're going to predict our deaths at the end of this, but he needs a proper send off that, and he needs to get one good one in before, you know, because let's face it, Ramsay went out like a stud. He was an asshole and a piece of shit.
Yep.
He got eaten by his own dogs, but he killed a giant in the end. And, you know, he just ran out of arrows, or he would have killed Jon Snow. I mean, like, Ramsay was a good bad guy who went out like a good bad guy should. But you're right. They kind of neutered Littlefinger.
The thing is that I feel like it's easier for a show to depict a Euron or a Ramsay, right? Because you just show them doing really fucked up shit all the time.
Yeah, that's easy.
But Littlefinger is more difficult because he affects big heinous acts around the world, and you know, he masterminds large scale like genocide, right? Like that seems to be his goal, right? Like he wants to wipe out anyone that doesn't fit into his big picture for what he wants of himself ruling over the world. And it seems like he's that much of a megalomaniac, and it's hard to depict somebody like once they've moved all their chess pieces into the right place, which seems like what he had done, right? Like he had John Arryn killed. Like he moved us to where we are now. He's been the driving force behind all the intrigue that we've had on the show. Most of it anyway. Like you said, Varys has a little bit. There's Tyrion's playing a role. But, you know, he's making the big moves behind the scenes. And now it seems like there's a few more big moves to make, and he doesn't seem to be in that headspace on the show. And that I'm wondering if that's a red herring, like if he really is like doing more than we see, or if like the show doesn't know what to do with him until that last move that he's got to pull at some point.
And maybe they have something in mind that we're not just seeing, and maybe they're just being really clever and hiding it. Although lately they've been really heavy-handed with showing you what they're going to do.
Right. And it's very navel gazy with him right now. I don't know.
And you know what, with Varys too, I mean, it's like, what do you like, again, this is where you lose the George R. R. Martin factor. Cause he was so freaking good at the intrigue. And now we don't have enough time for them to do another quick betrayal. Maybe there is, but like everybody's just waiting for the big battles, you know? And I think we got to temper that. Well, I mean, shortening the seasons, there's good and bad with that. I don't know.
Here's the thing, though. Hold on. Okay. I have to speak to that very thing really quick. Like, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I wanted to not go to the next thought before we finish this one, because Varys put Tyrion and Daenerys into place on the game board in a very big way. Littlefinger has been working all this time to get Sansa back to Winterfell with him. Like, it just it's on different playing fields here.
What Littlefinger explained to Sansa in the Godswood last season was the most revealing thing about him ever, other than chaos is a ladder, is everything I do is a step closer to me sitting on the Iron Throne. Add to what I think about every minute when I'm eating my next bite of meat, I am thinking, how is this bite going to get me closer to the Iron Throne? That's all he ever thinks about, and he's the king of pivoting. He saw Cersei, and he saw that the faith was not a good place for him. He had a brothel. He saw it was going down. He saw Cersei was going crazy. He's like, I'm the fuck out of here. Bite. Took advantage of it. Got the fuck out. He saw his path through Sansa. And right now he is ruling the Eyrie. Okay. So he's a fucking lord of a major land.
But instead, he's hanging out at Winterfell. Like, I guess that's my point. Is like, it makes sense for Varys.
I know. I hear you.
It makes sense to me that Varys is like following Daenerys around, because it seems as if his end goal is to put Daenerys back on the throne or something of that nature, right? Like she's.
It really does. But remember,
like she's his major game piece, right? Like, if you're looking at the board, he's got his pieces with him right now. And he's not trying to be the one out in front. And it seems as if Littlefinger has lost his pieces, and it's him out in front with his army.
You know, it's never jived with me with Varys. being with Varys and Daenerys. sounds like jeans. Is he hates magic.
Right.
And she is like the epitome of magic. So
he's like bringing magic back little by little.
Those dragons are making the dragons and being near major magical things makes you stronger. So the wall is a big major magical thing, and the dragons are, and the dragons being alive is making magic kind of spread all over the world. So that's never jived with me. So in the books, I know he's like totally gonna, you know, whatever, he's gonna do a 180. In the show, don't know. It'd be interesting.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm just like, it seems as if he's like Littlefinger's a little more lost to me. So I'm interested to see where he's going.
I can see where you are. There. Okay. That's good. Okay. Let's get to the Hound. Okay.
I thought we were going to do the Ed Sheeran concert. Oh yeah. I already talked about that. Let's go back to that.
That was a sweet little scene. And I think it just showed that Arya is not completely off the hook.
Yeah.
I think that only two reasons that existed. They wanted to get another, rock,
celebrity
music person. I won't call him a rock star. They wanted to show that Arya has not completely gone off the chain.
She's got some humanity left. Yeah.
Got some humanity left. And that was that. Speaking of humanity, we go to the Hound, my favorite character. He's my favorite character in Game of Thrones, period. Why? Because the man's a truth teller all the time. And it's brutally honest. And I love these kind of people. You know, I befriend these kind of people. These are the kind of people I hang out with in my life, you know? They may be a little crass, but that's okay. That's okay. He tells it like it is. And he's with Beric Dondarrion and Thoros Amir, and they go back to the house. And it took me a second to realize, and the only reason I would have realized it is because they put it in the scenes previously on Game of Thrones. It was the house that him and Arya went with and got some chicken, and then he mugged the guy and left him alone.
Oh, that's the chicken house?
Yeah. Well, that's one of the chicken houses. Remember, there's lots of chicken. The Hound eats a lot of chicken. And he mugs the guy and leaves him home with this little girl, and they ended up starving to death. So when they start approaching the house, the Hound recognizes it. He's like, I don't want to go in there. They go in there. He sees the father and little girl, and the father had killed the little girl because the Hound robbed him of all his money, and they starved to death. So the Hound is feeling guilty, which is good. He's going to feel human right before he dies fighting the White Walkers.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and don't you want to see him and Brienne? I mean, like, that's what we're waiting for, is like the Hound and Brienne fighting fucking side to side with like big fucking swords, hacking down zombies. That's what I'm waiting for. As much as I'm waiting for dragons killing zombies, I want to see Brienne and the Hound hacking some zombies.
You want Vikings versus Zombies, the movie, for a couple of episodes.
Can I rewind real way back to the Night's King scene? Were you afraid you were going to see Hodor?
Oh, no, I didn't even think about that.
I was like, I don't want to see Hodor. I don't want to see Hodor. I don't want to see Hodor. I know
that would be tragic. Oh.
Oh, they're totally going to do it. They're so, because this is Game of Thrones, people. So I go back to the Hound, that whole scene was great. His like, you know, like, why you, Beric? You're kind of a boring, I mean, you're not bad. You're just not good.
Yeah.
You're a basic bitch. Why did the fucking Lord of Light pick a basic bitch? And he's like, I don't know. So that's kind of telling you that like Beric's got a specific purpose. Because one thing we note about our Lord of Light, besides the fact that he's a fucking prick god, is I'm assuming he's male. I'm just gonna assume. Could be a woman, could be a bitch god, I don't know. And is that Beric's they're well, again, this is the show, like really heavy-handed. Beric is here for a reason. We brought this guy back three seasons later for a reason, and we're telling you again. But then we saw a cool scene where Thoros Amir, you know, shows the Hound where his future in the flames, and the Hound sees it. My only wish is they would have kind of shown you something in it.
Yeah, so I kept waiting for a punchline. I don't know about you, but I thought like the Hound was like, oh yeah, I see all this stuff, and he was being really serious.
Fire.
Yeah, yep. And then he'd be like, you guys are idiots. Like, I didn't see any of that shit. You guys are so gullible. You know, like, that's what I was expecting from that scene. Because we didn't see anything.
Oh, my God. I was about to use a bad word that Jess McCulley uses in Fast Times that I won't. But just, you can imagine. You guys are, you know.
You guys are so dumb. Yeah. That's what I was expecting.
It would have been so good. Oh my god! Sorry. I do not want to repeat that word because I mean it's something that was totally okay, but not okay to say anymore. But it would have been so fucking funny. Yeah, oh, sorry. Okay. you guys are. Never mind. I did it again. It wasn't that funny. Okay. So we flash back to Bran and we get to see Jorah. Jorah's not looking good.
His arm is looking bad. Bad, bad, bad.
You know what
I mean? So this is where he went. He went to the Citadel to get healed, but they're not doing so good on the healing.
It doesn't look like they're like, I'm here to get healed. Okay, we got a room for you right over here.
Just lock you in a cage.
Go in there, go to the back of the wall. Okay. Fuck you, dude. We're not you. Get away from me. That's how they healed him.
Totally.
You know what would be cool if he was like the mysterious man in the cell. You know those movies where they got the guy working in the prison and the guy's all, hey kid, come on over. Never show his name. He's all, you already know about the so and so and the what's the sets and such. Yeah. You know, that would have been cool if like we did. I mean, we would have probably figured it out, but if they that's what it seemed like.
And he's got like a bionic arm and he's like smoking a cigarette and he's yeah, totally, man. That would be awesome.
The Twilight Zone, the Hollow Man, where, you know, like the devil talks his way out of jail. That would have been, yeah, I know, like smoking a cigarette. That would be, hey kid, you got any tobacco? Yeah. You ever spoon?
Oh God.
Oh, sorry.
Jorah is not looking so good these days, man.
Jorah's done some time. He's got a little native.
The Citadel, man. It's like with a Weapon X program all over again.
Yeah, a lot of dudes going on in Citadel. You know.
It's lonely times.
It's lonely. So then we get towards the end, and we get this no lines scene. Again, this is where the Reddit, Free Folk Reddit, which the formerly great Free Folk Reddit, which I don't go to anymore because they've completely become a bunch of kneelers by worrying about spoilers and stuff. That's where you're like, they got big. The Free Folk subreddit got big because they were not afraid to post spoilers and like where you could go download freaking early episodes. That's how they became a thing. And I went back there because I haven't been back since. And they're like, it's a bunch of, oh, look at Sophie Turner on the runway. Look at how pretty she looks. I'm like, yeah. What happened to this Reddit? Dealers. And I shit posted a little bit and then I left. I digress. So but they did have some spoilers a few months ago and they were like 100% right, like word for word. And yeah, this was one of the scenes they talked about where she just walks up the path. We see Dragonstone. It's the baddest. So Dragonstone, the castle looked pretty badass. Yes.
I thought it looked fucking amazing. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So that's like half as amazing as it's supposed to look. It's supposed to be the last Valyrian castle. This was made by Valyrians. Dragonstone was a Valyrian outpost before the Doom. Remember, the Targaryens were a nothing family with the Valyrians. They weren't even in the top 100 of powerful families in Valyria. They just happened to have an outpost out by Westeros. And they also happened to have, a woman who could predict or see the future who had a nightmare about the Doom. So they moved, they believed her and moved the whole family out. And it took like 100 years and then the Doom happened. And then they sat there for another 100 years. And then Aegon's like, you know, I want to conquer that country we've been looking at for like 100 years. Let's go get it. We got a dragon. Woo. You know? The castle's supposed to be just like super intricate and everything's got a dragon head or a griffin head or a ghoulie head or whatever. So like, look at some of the deviant art, look at some of the art that like is George R. R. Martin approved. Some of that deviant art is, or were approved. I mean, he said he liked it, thought it was rad and it looks like, there's a great Game of Thrones DVR. Actually, it's better than the art of Game of Thrones books, which I have up here, which are really awesome too. I highly recommend you pick them up. They're from the card game. They still, like, the castle still looked like badass. I mean, it did. And like her taking down Stannis and then the map and like everything was cool. I just couldn't believe that Tyrion didn't utter a word. You know?
I think that's on purpose. I think it's smart. Here's the thing. I like Tyrion. I like Tyrion a lot. But Tyrion right now is a, like, here's why I think that was important. Dany was coming home and this was like her moment. And the fact that you have Varys and Tyrion and Grey Worm and Missandei all there makes you realize that like she's got the team. This is the dream team, right? And the fact that Tyrion is like not the point guard on this dream team, Dany is, I think helps with the majesty, like it helps boost her up in that scene, which is what the scene was trying to do. It's like her coming home and saying like, okay, everything we've done before, that was to get here. Now we're started. Like, this is the start of the game. All that was preparation. And she's in control, not Tyrion, not Varys. And I think that it was, I don't know, I just think it was really smart to do that. And he'll have his moments, but this was hers. And it was great.
Well, and that's what the show is. The show is, okay, the show is ultimate fan fiction. This is George R. R. Martin was a lonely, lonely child, and he stared at his turtles a lot. And the story came from him staring at his turtles. If you don't fucking believe me, listen to his own books. Okay. Listen to it. Like, he'll explain it all. And, I feel bad for how lonely you have to be to come up with something this great. I feel bad, but thank you, George. Thank you for making this rad story. But it's basically George is, it's Game of Thrones. It's a giant game board. George is an evil god who wants to do things unconventionally. Instead of like, we're going to have battles, we're like, nope, we're going to have the little guy survive. And, you know,
right.
And then, you know, basically the Ben Kenobi or Luke Skywalker of our story and the Darth Vader of our story are going to die in the first act. And, you know, and that's what's cool about this. And this episode was just the pieces going to the board. That's all it was.
What I liked about this scene in particular, though, is you really like it's the youngest daughter of a king, a little person, a eunuch, varies like has had is so much shit happened to him and an ex-slave, and these are the people who are ready to grasp power. And I think it's that scene was the opening scene was like, this is what this show is, this is where we're going. Arya just slaughtered the Freys, this was where we've been. And I just loved the where we're going scene that we got at the very end of the episode. I felt like it was like perfectly done. Because you contrast it with like Dany riding her dragons after like the battle in the there are some other scenes of Dany's that were these big moments that didn't work as well as this to me. I thought this was simple and direct and really beautiful.
That was wonderful about it. And this show is everything that comic books can't do. It starts out with established characters and established, you know, tropes and everything, and just it goes. This is the next generation. This is the next thing. You know, the legacy. We'll talk about Marvel, which Marvel and DC just can't do because they can't let go in the right way of their main characters, and they can't find a good enough thing to replace it. And that's a whole podcast for another day, but this is basically your template right there. So you got Ned's Batman and, you know, whatever. And, you know, and Robin takes over or Nightwing or Jason Todd or whatever.
So theoretically for season 8, Dany dies and comes back as a man. Is that how this is going to go?
Yes. That's how it's going to be. I don't even talk about that. yes. What was my favorite tweet today was Kate Winslet's going to play Winston Churchill. Yeah. Oh my God. That was funny. Okay. So you tried to drag it out of me.
I tried. I'm a bad, bad, bad boy.
It's okay. You know what? My mama told me to shut up.
When you can't say something nice.
Shut up. Don't be stupid.
I missed that lesson.
Yeah.
I'm on a podcast.
Your mama was just, yeah, whatever. Your mama was like, you're such a good boy, John. We love you. Yeah. You can just do whatever you want.
Awesome.
Great episode. So I'm so fucking fired up. I wish they would kind of do the preacher thing and just show us another one tomorrow. I'd be very happy with that, but they're going to stretch this out. Yeah. And, you know, honestly, you know, and for one, I was going to ask you earlier, it was an hour and 6 minutes long. Did it feel that long?
Nope.
It felt short
because it went a lot of places. So it never settled in to like a groove, which usually makes things feel longer. Like The Walking Dead tends to feel long because they don't have a lot of places to go. They're all kind of confined to one area or two areas. So you're kind of just skipping back and forth between two areas. Or if you are going to different places, it's like one person's in the kitchen, one person's in the bedroom, right? Like there's not a big area to work with. And I feel like this show tends to feel short when it moves around a lot throughout the world and gives you a little vignette from each place. The seemingly longer episodes are usually like the ones where there's like a big scene of, say, dragon fire exploding after like a 20-minute lead up, right? Like that's when an episode tends to feel longer in a good way, right? Like you want more, but those feel longer. So it definitely felt short. It was a lot of little vignettes of all these characters that we wanted.
Excellent. I just want to point out what Melissa, who was supposed to join us, but she got tired. She worked today. She just wanted to point out that Cersei's wig looked bad, and there was not enough of Jon Snow.
Never enough Jon Snow.
That's Melissa's input.
And he needs to get to warmer climates so he can, you know, derobe more.
Well, that could be coming. I didn't even watch the scenes for next week.
Me neither. I didn't either.
We will. I watched all the post-show stuff, which was cool, but not super informative. So do you want to do a quick death prediction?
Yeah, we can do a quick one. Yeah, sure. Okay. Do you want to just pick three or something?
Let's pick... So we did a death pool last year. We're going to do death pool this year. Let's pick three, and we'll do one each. Do you want me to start or do you want to start?
You can start.
Okay, I'm going to start with one I did last year. I'm just going to repeat it again. I think Littlefinger's dead.
I disagreed last year, and I want to hear what you said. I want to hear your rationale. I want to come.
He's dead. Okay. Rationale. His story's played out. I don't think he has a part in a big battle-y. I think next season's going to be basically Return of the King. And I think this season's going to be the Two Towers. So I think there's just a lot of battles, not enough time for intrigue. That's why we're going to like lose some characters like Varys and Littlefinger. Although Varys is not on my list, and neither is Tyrion. But I think Tyrion will find a role. I don't know if those two will. I think Littlefinger has played out. It's unfortunate because I really liked him as a bad guy. He had some of the best lines in the damn show. I think he dies at the hand of a Stark. I mean, you want me? Do I have to say a Stark?
You think Sansa's gonna kill him?
Sansa's gonna off Littlefinger.
So here's my thing. I agree that I don't think Littlefinger makes it out of the show alive, but I think it's still like I view Littlefinger. Like I like that you just compared it to Lord of the Rings because I think of him like a Sauron who like survives the big battle and then goes and raises the Shire and then they kill him at the very end. And I kind of see Littlefinger like escaping the fray and showing up at the very end to be killed. So I almost see him just waiting longer to die. So it would be interesting if he did die this year, this season. But I'm going to say I'm betting against that.
Okay. Your turn.
My turn. I think I also picked this person. Jorah still is not looking great. Now the Citadel also is not looking like it's advanced enough to help him. They're cutting open bodies to weigh organs, which means they're trying to figure something out that maybe is what he has maybe beyond their capabilities. So I think Jorah is going to have a role this season, probably a pretty large one, but I see him getting back into Dany's presence and dying pretty quick here. I'd say probably a couple episodes before the end of the season, we see Jorah bite it.
Okay. There's two deaths. I tried to really stay away from spoiler deaths. I did, but I did see two. I am not going to pick those, ladies and gentlemen. And some of you out there might know them. I'm not going to pick them.
I don't know any spoiler deaths, by the way.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's not fair then. I mean, like, so I'm not going to pick them for the sake of fairness. So I am going to say, I'm going to pick one that is probably unlikely, but you picked it last year. So I'm pick one of your picks this year. Podrick.
Pod.
Going to die.
Oh, I love Pod.
It's going to make Brian go, No! Oh, we got to get one of those, right?
And then kill lots of people. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah,
there's... So that'd be rad. So Podrick Payne.
Podrick Payne. Okay, I like it. I mean, I liked it last year.
Sir Ilyan Payne, which... I'm sorry to interrupt you. Sir Ilyan Payne, who's the guy who actually cut off Ned Stark's head, was taken out of the show because he got cancer, but he's better now, and they haven't brought him back. I don't understand why.
He doesn't want to contract grayscale.
Maybe they have to keep him away. Season, you know, they got to bring him back because, like, for Christ's sake, he was in Arya's prayer, the namesake, yep. the namesake of this podcast, Arya's prayer.
Maybe he'll show up just to die on the show.
That would be nice. I mean, you're cured from cancer. Come and die for real, right? Or fake, and then not die for real.
Yeah, it's like a reverse jinx. I have not thought this through too well, so I'm gonna pick Ed Sheeran. No, I'm just kidding. I'm gonna go with...
I just killed him. Actually, yeah. The cops are coming right now.
I'm gonna go with my family, Mira Reed. I'm gonna go with Bran. He's got too many people looking after him, and one has to die every season. So I think this is hers.
Oh man, that's a... Howland's like gonna lose both of his kids before we even meet him.
Yep.
I'm starting to wonder if we're gonna meet him now.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like, he's been like one of the... I think we will. They showed him.
They talk about him a lot.
And I mean, it's never there. Well, for one, he's supposed to be a badass too, like a little badass, like a little frog ninja. You know, it's like, and he's like, he's in this mystical... Yeah, he's like a frog ninja. That's what I always the Reeds are. They're frog ninjas.
That's really cool. So great. Swamp
ninjas. Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah. Oh my god. Okay. That's horrible. I think she's I think she's really pretty and nice and kind of a badass. And
yeah. No, Bran has to be all alone.
There's the payment she gets for pulling his ass all over the North. John, you are
cruel. She did her job.
She did her job. Yeah, get out. Okay, so boy, this one hurts, man. This one hurts me in my little black heart. This one hurts me. Tormund, Giantsbane. Like my third favorite character, the reason I grow this beard. Tormund, Giantsbane.
But there's no way that happens because they just announced that the next spinoff is going to be Brienne and Tormund as a romantic comedy in Westeros.
Oh, damn.
So there's no way they can...
It's called Brienne.
They got rid of Tormund.
And she sings, la, la, la. We're going to do it.
I could see it dying in battle. Interesting. Well, you know what? I'm going to stay with heartless killings, and I'm going to go with Gilly. I think Gilly dies to leave Sam to be a single father.
Wow, that's really going against the grain. Usually it's the other way around. But that's a horrible pick. I love Gilly. She survives so much bullshit. I love her. Oh, that meta part. Well, I just wanted to talk about that. I never finished that out. Was the when they? I guess this is like really riding the edge of meta. Okay.
Yeah.
This is when they said that. Okay, for one, when the undead are coming, let me preface this: everybody should fight. Dogs, cats, your hamster, your baby. Everybody should pick up a spear and a sword and fight. Totally, completely down with that. Just the way they said it, like. The women are not going to stay back. And so actually the way the little bear said it was great. It was just how it was said by the men was stupid. You know, they first no way the women are going to fight. Oh, okay. Now that you said they will, that's great. You know, and for one, this is supposed to be based on medieval times.
Yeah.
And that shit just didn't go down, but it's fiction. I get it. Undead. We just forgave a house. Women are going to have to fight. I've always down with that. I mean, like, who wants to sit at home? That's bullshit. I want my wife right there. When we the zombie apocalypse happens, me, wife. Okay.
Red Sonja it up, right?
Fuck yeah. That's what we need. As long as my wife wears the red Sonja bikini. Yes. They had to be sexist there a little bit. It was just, you know what? It's like they did it. They did two scenes right after that saying, and then they did Sansa mentioning it right after. It's like, okay, we got it.
Yeah.
Fight. Game of Thrones is a very progressive.
We're progressive.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's great. But it was like, again, there was like three moments that took me out of the story. That was one of them. Cersei's bad wig, you know? But I mean,
when you said little bear, I just had a blink, like, and I imagined like Ted, like the teddy bear with like a sword in hand, like rallying the troops. The women must fight.
I killed a guy with a trident.
Yeah, totally. Like smokes a bong in. Just no, like,
I want to see her fighting. I want to see Lena Mormont like out there with her little girl armor on. That'd be fucking rad, dude. I can't Liana. Wait.
Yep.
Liana, whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, I noticed one of those kids was named after Ned Stark. Ned Carstark.
Yes.
Like, Ned Carstark. Kill him. He looks so innocent. And he had a good little haircut for fucking Westeros. Did he go to Westeros Cuts or something?
Was he Rickon's body double? Like, they felt bad, so they brought back the body double because they couldn't.
Maybe. Where's the gay Westerosi hairdresser?
Yeah, right. Yeah, they're not making it out of
a little bit off those curls, John. Too long.
So that's a good death draft, death pool.
It's so cold and dark here. I just got to get south. Sorry.
I need to go
to Dorne and Atlanta Beach for a while and have a martini, have a Dornish wine.
Yeah. They're not in Winterfell. That is for sure. For all of our audio content and all of our content, head over to nerdrotic.com at www.nerdrotic.com. You can also like us on Facebook at facebook.com/nerdroticpodcast. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at JohnReed16. That's JONRED16. You follow Gary, who does our official Twitter feed, at nerdrotics. That's with an S at the end. You can see us on Instagram. We are nerdrotic on Instagram. On YouTube, please comment, subscribe. You can find us, the Nerdrotic channel on YouTube. We cover lots of shows. Head over to the page, check those out. Right now, we just ended American Gods. We've got Preacher. Got a lot of cool stuff coming in the fall. Lots of new shows coming, and we're going to be covering them all. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, please, for audio podcasts. You can review us, leave us a star rating. It helps us a lot there. And finally, these videos on Facebook are new. We're going to keep trying to do our live videos on Facebook, see how that goes. We may move back to YouTube at some point, but for now, we're trying a couple different platforms too on Facebook. We're trying a lot of stuff out, so let us know what you like best. But you'll find us every week after the episode live on Facebook, and then the videos will get posted directly onto YouTube right after the live shows are over. I think that's everything.
Yeah, that is everything. Yeah, we're going to try out the live thing on Facebook. We'll see how that works out. Oh, we got Comic-Con coming up.
Yeah. Comic-Con.
This is kind of a big deal. So if you don't like us, just really don't show up for the next week, because we're going to be live on Facebook and on YouTube. We're going to have new video content up every day next week, starting Tuesday.
Yeah.
Coming from Comic-Con, we're going to try to bring you – okay, we're not going to like – I'm not going to recap – we'll tell you what we think, but we're not going to recap trailers and all that crap you can see online. We're going to try to bring you shit you don't see normally from good, like
comic we'll do both. Stuff. We're going to try to both.
Like, John's going to
be like, live from the
John's
floor.
John's going to do main stuff, but like from the floor, what the vast majority of our stuff is going to be our opinions and me trying to like find different things on the floor. The up and comers.
Yeah.
The stuff you'll be hearing about in 5 years. We're going to troll in a bad way.
So how we're going to do this, if you want our live opinions and feedback on what's going on the floor of Comic-Con, that'll all be happening on Facebook throughout the day, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and potentially Sunday if there's anything going on at Con on Sunday, which is usually the slower day. You'll also get live podcasts at the end of the day and potentially some live podcasts during the day. And then after all that stuff goes on during the day, we'll try to post as much content up to YouTube late. But if you want the content right away, it's all going to be going to Facebook Live from all of us. So stay subscribe to us or like us on Facebook for all those notifications. And then you'll get all the content at some point on YouTube, but it'll probably be quicker on Facebook.
Yeah, this will be a chance for you to check out our Facebook page.
Which is facebook.com/nerdroticpodcast.
Yeah, but YouTube will get all that stuff too. Like what John just said. And of course, our website, nerdrotic.com. So, John, I guess that's it. May the small folk sing songs of your greatness.
Awesome, 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 awesome. Bye, everybody.
Bye, Game of Thrones.
We'll see you next week. We love you. Don't go. Stay here.
Stay here. You want to keep talking? I could. I could talk for like a half an hour. No, 27 minutes.
27, exactly, precisely. Bye.
Waldafrey. The mountain. Marentrant.
You have been listening to Nerdrotic Podcast.
Waldafrey. The mountain. Marentrant.
Please subscribe.